In the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, John has this to say: "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part of the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." A new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. We're at that time, that season, that time of the year when multitudes under these heavens and upon this earth are reminded of the entrance of the Son of God into this world. The heavens and the earth resound to the sound of that message that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, that the Son of God was born with human flesh as a babe in Bethlehem. And multitudes will hear some facts regarding his coming, that this babe named Jesus is the Son of God, that shepherds were told of his coming by angels and came and glorified him, that he was born as no other man was born, born of a virgin, Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost, that he was the long-promised Messiah, promised unto Israel for generations. The world will hear that wise men from the east heard of his coming and looked for his coming in the stars and saw a star that led them to where the child was. The world, in its foolishness and blindness, buries much of the truth of this message and mixes it up with its revelings and riotings and distractions. But nevertheless, through the noise of this season and the hustle and bustle and the commercial selling and buying and the reveling and the drinking and the partying, nevertheless, there is a name which sounds, which goes from lip to lip. Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And though man, in the blindness of his nature, may take that name and repeat that name and tell children of that name and know nothing of its meaning and know not the one so named, nevertheless, God witnesses unto all that Jesus, Joshua, God's Saviour, came into this world, the Son of God, born a man, and he came to save sinners from their sins. Under these heavens and upon this earth, there has been a witness and a testimony to the coming of Christ for 2,000 years, as so witnessed and testified to for thousands of years by the prophets before his coming. This world knows that there is a God who sent his Son into this world of sin, into this world of darkness, that he might lead his people unto the light. What do you know of that child born Jesus? What do you know of his message? And what do you know of his salvation? For many will speak much of his coming. Many at this time of year, even in the churches, will speak much of his coming, much of his birth, much of who they think he is. But much that is said and done is said and done in blindness. And though they take the name and though they repeat some of the facts, they know not this Christ. And they know not his salvation. What of you? Who was he? Who is he to you? Why did he come? Why was he born? Unto what end? Why was he born? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save his people from their sins. He came to accomplish salvation. He came to deliver sinners, hard-hearted sinners, rebellious sinners like you and I, from our sin, from the wrath of God which burns from heaven above against our sin, from the judgment of God to come if we remain in our sins, from all our enemies, all our foes, all our troubles, all our trials. He came to deliver his people from sorrow, from death, from tears, from crying, from pain. He came to deliver them from this fallen, evil world. He came to save. To what end did he come? To this end, the salvation of all those whom the Father gave unto the Son. The salvation of the people of God, the children of Israel, the elect, the chosen, his people. He shall save his people from their sins? Are you one of his people? Do you know his salvation? And if you do, what are you looking for as you journey through this world? Is your gaze, is your heart set upon this earth and these heavens, this world, all that's in it, all its glory, all its pleasures, all its riches? Do you take the name of Christ and say you believe whilst you journey around this world, seeking and devouring, grasping and grabbing at all that you can gain here below? Or has God put another life, another spirit, another desire, another ambition, another love within your heart? Has he put faith in your heart to look? To look up, to look beyond this earth for another earth, to look beyond these heavens for new heavens, to look beyond all that is below, up unto all that is from above. Are you merely looking backwards to the coming of Christ in history as an event which has come and gone? Is your gaze below and backwards? Do you look merely to the facts and the history and the records of that fact and of that coming? Or are you by faith looking unto the one that came each and every day? And are you by faith looking for his coming again? For as surely as Christ was born and came into this world, he is going to return. As certain as his first coming was, as promised through generations and preached about by generations of prophets, so it is certain that he will return again. Generations preached of him, and the world around mocked and scoffed and went about their business, went about their sinful ways, went about building their empires and mounting up their riches and shutting God and his message and his gospel and his Saviour out from all their thoughts and affections. Multitudes were born and multitudes perished, who ignored the message of the prophets that Messiah would come. But he came, and he did all that was prophesied of him. He was born where he would be born, of the lineage that God said he would be born of the line of David, of the kingly line. He was born at the moment, the perfect moment, in the fullness of time that God purposed he should be born. He was born at the perfect moment historically that the Son of God should come into this world, when Israel was in captivity under the rule of Rome. God so purposed that his Son should come then, that his gospel should go not only to the Jews, but out through Rome and the Roman Empire to all the four corners of the earth, to the Gentiles also. He came when he was purposed to come. All that was said of him was brought about. All that was said of him in his life was brought about perfectly. All the records of the prophets, you can go and you can read them. We have the scriptures preserved for thousands of years, and those books in the Old Testament written thousands of years before the coming of Christ. And all that they said regarding him came about to the letter. And when the Jews received him not and gave him up to the hands of the authorities of Rome and demanded that he be crucified, and he was smitten, all the promises and prophecies regarding his death came about and were fulfilled. They smote the shepherd. They pierced him. When the soldiers found that, unlike the two thieves on either side of him, that he had, that being crucified, he had died already. He'd given up the ghost already. Whereas with the others, they broke their legs to finish them off. With him, they found him dead already, and they merely pierced his side, and out flowed blood and water. And in so doing, they fulfilled all the prophets, all the prophecies regarding him, that not a bone of his body should be broken, but that he should be pierced. The soldiers, as he was crucified, took his garments and separated them between him, so fulfilling the words of the prophet. All that was promised and prophesied regarding his first coming came about. And you can take the scriptures and you can read them through, and they are there. And they were written before his coming. And all that happened, as recorded in the Gospels, was a fulfillment of all those words. Now this Bible tells us that he's coming again. And there have been generations of preachers sent to this world for the last 2,000 years to tell you not only did Christ come, but he will return. And you can be certain that he will return. And all that is prophesied regarding his return will come about just as it did with his first coming. We are told that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. That there will be a day in which this present earth will be burnt with fire, and the heavens and the stars and all around will be rolled up like a scroll. This universe will be brought to its conclusion. This earth that you seek to grasp and gain with all your might and power will slip from your fingers as it's burnt up. And you and I and all men and women and children will stand before Almighty God. And there will be a day when we will all stand before him. And there will be a people chosen who he will say, enter into my glory forevermore. And there will be another people judged for all that they have done and thought and said in their lifetime, whom he will find wanting. And though many of them will cry, Lord, Lord, I've prophesied in thy name, I've done this in thy name, I've held my Christmas services in thy name, I've told many of thy coming, Lord, although they've taken his name and proclaim his name, they never knew him, and he says unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. Though you took my name, though you spake of my birth, though you thought you were telling people of me, you never received the truth regarding me. You never truly understood what the prophet said of me. You took my name from the Bible and you turned me into an idol. You fashioned an idol named Jesus that has nothing to do with me. The one that you followed called Jesus, the one that you did so much in the name of, is not I. I never knew you. Now do you proclaim to follow Jesus Christ? Do you speak of his birth? Do you speak of his death? Do you speak of his love and his salvation? If you do, are you sure that the one that you follow in your head is the one whom God, by the Spirit of God, has revealed through this word? Or have you twisted and perverted the truth concerning him and followed an idol? Because on that day you will either stand with the sheep who go into glory or with the goats who go into outer darkness and a lake that burns with fire. And what you know of Christ and what you profess of Christ and what you believe regarding this Jesus is vital. Yes, there comes a day when this world will be burnt up. All of it. All the nations, all the creation, it will go. And all the ungodly and the wicked in it, who have not been washed with the blood of the Lamb of God, who have not bowed down to that babe born in Bethlehem and worshipped him as the Son of God, as those shepherds did, and as the wise men later on, a couple of years later, did when they found that child growing. If you've not bowed down with them to that man born in Bethlehem, who would later be crucified outside of Jerusalem in the place called Golgotha, then you with multitudes will be separated from the sheep and be consumed in the fires of that lake that burns forever. But when this world is gone, there is a people, a blessed people, a thankful people, a lowly people, a favoured people, who will see, as John saw, a new heaven and a new earth. This people, born sinners as all others are born sinners, born children of wrath as all others were, having rebelled against God like all others have, unbelieving by nature, apathetic by nature, full of sin by nature, this people are a people who in time hear the message of that Jesus that came to save his people from their sins. And in time, by the Holy Spirit, are convicted of their sins and brought to recognize that they are but sin through and through, from head to toe, lepers, having no good in them, having no righteousness, having no holiness. They're taught by the Holy Spirit that they're under wrath by nature, that God's wrath burns against their sin, and that there's nothing that they are which is acceptable unto a holy and a perfect God, and that there is nothing that they can do which is acceptable to a holy and perfect God. They're taught by God their dreadful state by nature and their dreadful position, and that if they should remain in such a state, that the hours are ticking away to that day when they will be plunged into darkness. Have you been taught that way? Are you being taught that way? Do you feel the guilt of your sins? Do you recognize and own that you have sinned, and you have sinned not against men but against the Holy God? And that he's furious with your sins, and those sins must be answered. Well, if you have, or you are, then you will come the same way as this people who, having been taught that, are then wonderful day, glorious day, merciful day, led by the Spirit of God to the foot of the cross, and led to see and to behold by faith that child born in Bethlehem, now a man, offered up and crucified as a sacrifice for their sins. They're brought to see that that Jesus, of whom the world says much at his coming, wrought salvation on the day on which he was crucified. He wrought, he accomplished, he finished salvation. He wrought it for them. He blotted out their sins. He took away their sin and took it outside the camp and burnt it up under the fire of God's wrath. He saved them. He stood in their place. He took their own sins upon himself. He was made sin for them, that they in him should be made the righteousness of God. Yes, this people are taken by the Spirit of God through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, to behold by faith the Saviour and to know that that Jesus, whom they spoke of much, is not only a child born in a manger, not only a name repeated once a year when people exchange gifts, but he is the very Son of God who came into this world to save sinners. And they, knowing that they are sinners, bow down in wonder that this man, a man without sin, should take their sins upon himself and drink up the cup of God's wrath due unto them, that they through him should be delivered. Delivered from the wrath to come. Delivered from the judgment. Delivered from hell. Delivered from death. Delivered from the lake of fire. Delivered from their flesh. Delivered from their fallen state. Delivered from this world. And saved with an everlasting salvation. Being given the righteousness of God in him. Being made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, having eternal life in him. They, being born again by the Spirit of God, having life in Christ, are brought to see with John a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. Oh, have you beheld by faith? Have you looked through the passing of time into the future and seen that which is to come? That there is a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Oh, what a sight. And oh, what a sound that John heard when he heard that great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Have you heard that voice? Has he said it of you? Are you one of his people? Is God with you? Is he your God? Oh, what a voice to hear. And what a promise we read of here, of the coming of this day when this new heaven and new earth are brought in and we enter into it as God's people, if you're one of his. When that people enter in, what does God say shall be done? He says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, what a day. What a day to come. This is why Christ came, that this day should come, that his people, his bride, should be with him forevermore, in a place where there's no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All the fallen world in which we live, all the evil, all the sin, all the pain, all the violence, all the anger, all the hatred, all the jealousy, all the nastiness, all the trouble, all the trials are all gone away. And in that new heaven and new earth, all there will be peace forevermore. Love, joy, righteousness, hope, glory. What a place. As the one that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now, why will these things come to pass? And why can we be so certain they will come to pass? Why can we by faith look and be so sure of their coming? Because of what he says in verse 6. He said unto me, it is done. It is done. As Christ cried out on the cross, it is finished, it's done. It's accomplished, it's wrought. Salvation is accomplished, it's done. And when this day comes and time is no more, then God will say it's done, for all has been brought into its final conclusion. But it's because Christ cried out, it's done, it's finished upon the cross, that made this finishing certain. It will come. When Christ cried out 2,000 years ago, it's done, he made sure that this day would come to pass. And God will say, when his people are gathered in, when the bride is united unto Christ, all his people behold him, he will say, it's done. It's over. It's finished. It's complete. All the struggle is in the past. All the trial, all the persecution, all the suffering that my people suffered for me whilst they journeyed through a world that hated them like it hated me is over. Oh, believer, you struggle now with so many things, with doubts and with fears, with the daily struggle of life, with the struggle to put bread on the table, with the struggle to meet your bills, with the struggle with illness and trouble, with the struggle with trials and opposition. You struggle now with persecution for the cause of Christ, persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, you've troubles. You know trial. You know suffering. And sometimes in the midst of it, you think, will it ever end? Well, it will end. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in a blink, in a flash, in but a breath, in but the span of a breath, there will be a day when you will wake up and you will hear a voice from heaven crying out, it's done, it's over. Welcome. Enter in a new heaven and a new earth. And that voice will say unto you, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the first of the fountain of the water of life freely. Are you thirsty? Then drink of this water. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Then eat of this bread and drink of this water of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It's done. When Christ's blood flowed forth and out came blood and water, it was done. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And the Lord says, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, will he say unto you, I will be thy God, and you shall be my son? Will he say? Why will we know that in that heaven and that earth that there are no tears, no crying, no more death, nor sorrow, nor pain? What makes it so certain? It's certain because in that heaven and that earth there is no more sin. All those troubles come because of that sin that entered into this perfect world at the beginning of time. When God created this world in 6 days, he said, it's good, it's good. He looked on all the creation and said, it's good. He made man, an upright man without sin. But when that man and that woman sinned, and sin and death entered this world, it destroyed it, it corrupted it, it polluted it forevermore. And all the pain, all the sorrow, all the trial, all the hatred, all the violence, all the wars, all the evil you see in the world around you today is because of that sin which entered in. But this new heaven and new earth is a heaven and earth where there is no sin. As is made clear in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea. The seas in the scriptures so often are a picture of our sin. God parted the sea from the dry land. He put man on the dry land, not in the sea. And when the wickedness of man multiplied so greatly in those first years on the earth, that God was moved to send destruction and judgment through those great rains that brought that great flood, in which he delivered Noah and his house in that ark. What this earth was covered in was water. The rains came down, the seas rose up, and the waters covered all the earth and all mankind upon the earth, except for those in the ark, Noah and his house, were destroyed utterly. And as those seas covered the earth, they were a picture of the covering of man's sin upon it and God's judgment against that sin. But there is a new heaven and a new earth in which there will be no more sea. Because there's no sin. There's no sin, and therefore there's no judgment against that sin. There'll be no sea to wash us away. No sea to pass through. No judgment, no death. Where there is no sin, there is no death. When sin entered this world, death entered by it. The reason you and I die, the reason generations are born and die, is because of the sin that dwells within them. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin. Death and sin are inextricably linked. The sin brings the judgment death, of which the seas, the waters are a picture. But in this heaven and this earth, there is no sin and no judgment and no death, because it's done. Because when Christ died, when he cried out, "It's finished," he took away all the sin of all his people for all time and eternity. He took it all away so that they, as his bride, should dwell with him forevermore. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming from down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He sees this city, and the city itself is personified as the bride of Christ. The city of God, New Jerusalem above, is formed from his people. They make up the city. There are 12 walls, the 12 tribes of Jerusalem, the 12 gates on those walls. There are 12 foundations of the walls, the apostles of the Lamb, and there are those within, and collectively they are his bride. And they are a bride adorned for her husband, because every one of them has been washed in his blood and made perfect and pure and clean. Which is why, if you read this chapter through to the end, that you read of the gold clear as glass, you read of the beauty of this city, you read of its perfections, you read of the stones found within it, you read of the glory. Because this people are glorious as their Saviour is glorious. They're one with him, perfect in him. Righteous. Glorious. To dwell and reign with him forevermore. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people. But as with Noah of old, when God sent down the judgment upon this earth, on that last day, those who are not found in this city, Those who have not looked for a new heaven and a new earth. Those who are not washed in the blood of the Lamb will be destroyed utterly. Washed away, as it were, by the storms of God's wrath. The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, amongst whom are you? Are you amongst that people described here as the holy city, the bride of the Lamb? That people chosen of God and washed in his blood, who look by faith for his coming? Or are you one of those who are fearful and unbelieving, turning your back upon the gospel, turning your back upon Jesus Christ, turning your back upon those whom he sends as his preachers, turning your back upon Jesus born in Bethlehem, turning your back upon all God's things and God's ways? Are you unbelieving? Are you abominable? Are you a murderer in your heart? Do you put to death in your heart all who profess Christ's name? Are you a whoremonger, idolatrous? Are you a sorcerer and idolater? Do you worship another God, another Jesus, another salvation, another Saviour? Are you a liar, taking Christ's name and speaking lies regarding him, telling men that he's like this when he's not? Are you a liar? If you are, you, as with all these, will find your part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Where are you? Where are you looking? Are you looking with a believing heart for the coming again of that Saviour who came the first time and wrought salvation and cried out, "It is finished," and said, "Salvation is complete, salvation is wrought, salvation is accomplished for my people"? Are you looking by faith unto him, looking unto him to wash you from all your sin, looking unto him for all your riches and hope? Are you looking unto his coming? Are you looking for that day in which you will enter in to be with him in a new heaven and a new earth? Are you? May God give you grace. May God be merciful to you to open the eyes to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. "Behold my Son, in whom I am well pleased," he said. May he open the blind eyes of those that sit in darkness to see a great light, and to see that joy sent down from heaven above, found in Jesus Christ the Saviour, who will lead his people into a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Amen.